Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Yes, you can email the show, Alive and Kicking at newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram. I'm at Claire McKenna Presents. Coming up this morning, why so many people stop moving as they get older, why traditional gyms often don't work for that audience, and what would really help people rebuild strength, confidence and independence later in life. Is a cracker of a guest on that one. I can't wait for you to meet Martina Calvi. We'll also be talking about the power of letting go, hearing from a massage therapist who says often emotional release accompanies muscle relaxing. And we'll discuss the joy of summer food with Erica Drum, talking about what's in season and how to cook it. So what kind of a health and wellness week did I have? Well, I seem to have come through what was a tricky time. I touched on it a little because, as I said, it was an issue with one of my kids and I need to remain respectful of their privacy. Much as I'd love to go into detail on it, I've bent the ear off many a friend. But I was very upset and stressed over the past few weeks, and stress truly has a knock-on effect. Our sleep is impacted, which compounds the problem. Then your mood can be low. That influences certain choices and decisions. And I found I was distracted, ruminating on the topic from every angle. But after 6 weeks, I've reached a point where I feel I had to let go. I should say my child is fine, and it's important that we don't remove every difficult experience from their way. There's learning in each one, and for me too. And my best friend called me out, as best friends often do, that I was trying to please everybody and fix everything, and sometimes it can't be done. So either just enough time has passed, or I just reached a point where I've said no more, but I'm feeling much better. And I've been thinking a lot about Jackie Mulligan, who was a guest on the show, about the working mind and the mental health continuum, the colour-coded system for us to describe how we feel. So instead of the binary and often limiting happy or sad, we all go between red, green, yellow, orange, depending on our circumstances and what life throws our way. When she came on and explained that, I was actually in the trenches of it all, and I felt really validated and confident that it was just a phase, a time, and that by reaching for the pillars I know hold me up consistently, or just hanging in there, I'd be back to green, however fleeting it may be. Red is where you need support beyond yourself, and there's no shame in that either. So wherever you find yourself today or at the moment, I hope you're okay and will either take care of yourself to get through, or reach for support, or both. You can email the show, aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Now, Erica Ryan is the owner of White Willow in Dublin. They give a range of therapies for clients, with massage being one of the most popular. With over 20 years experience and a range of specialist training, Erica has found that often emotional release accompanies muscle relaxing, and she joins me in studio now. Erica, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
So Erica, you came to say hello to me at a breathwork event and invited me out for a massage where you work, because you have an important message you feel you want to share. There's something you're experiencing with your clients, particularly your female clients, but not just them, about how powerful massage can be. And you really wanted to share that.
Yes. So I'm a massage therapist over 20 years. And in the last couple of years, I went into, and a sports therapist, and a couple of years ago, I just noticed that the type of massage I was trained with was very topically based. So you're working on the kind of outer layer or the inside layer, the myofascial layer. Whereas a fascia, when I most recently trained more in that, it works in a deeper level to release any stored trauma, emotions, any past experience that we hold in the body.
And how did you come across this?
So I went training twice last year. It was a lady from America, Maria Ferris, did training in the hotel I work in, actually. And Mario as well, Mario Sanchez, he's from Mexico, came over and did a workshop that I attended a couple of months ago too. So both very different style of trainings, and a lot that I've picked up over the years I kind of incorporate into using with what I learned from them. So I love adding my own intuitive style of training in with the work that I've learned too.
And one of the biggest best-selling books in this area is The Body Holds the Score, and that's by a doctor, one of the foremost experts in traumatic stress. And I think we have a way to go with completely understanding this, but there is an idea that our body does hold on to certainly stress or emotion. And it's something that you're experiencing now, that a lot of your clients are experiencing certain things, are feeling certain ways, but are sort of pushing it down. We're all guilty of it, and just, excuse me, pasting on a smile and getting on with it.
Yeah, we're suppressing. So sometimes when something shows up in the body, it's not necessarily in the area we think it is. So it's really watching our emotional health, watching and dealing with emotions and dealing with at that time and not letting them build up. And I've noticed that I'm guilty of it myself over years of not really understanding emotions and how they're processed through the body or where they're held and what's held there. But it's, it's absolutely incredibly fascinating how easy it is to release any stored blocked emotions in our body. And it's not just emotions, Claire. It's, you know, trauma could be scar tissue. It could be an injury you had 10, 15 years ago. So it's everything is relevant. It's a kind of a somatic buildup of everything together that builds up in one particular area. And that's where it becomes chronic in particular areas in the body. So with the work that I do, you're dispersing that energy. You're dispersing any stagnant, tight energies that you just want to flow through the body. And working on emotions to release and improve emotional health is really important.
And you're right, people will assume, and I would have the same, that when you think about stress held in the body, we instantly go to the shoulders or the neck. But with the training that you've done, there are different areas of the body for different emotions.
Yeah, so I start at the calf. So when you're working at the lower end of the body, you're working on the calf, you can assess the body as you're looking at it from that area, and you can see different parts of the hips, maybe move the arm, kind of move through the points that you're working through the calf. So you know exactly where to press on, where to move to. And you can tell a lot about the body through certain movements that people take and expressions. So with the fascia, your breath all like automatically kicks in really deeply. So you're actually self-healing your own body through your breath, through the work that I do.
So how does it work? Somebody comes to see you, and I went out to meet you myself, because people would think, oh God, this sounds tough. This sounds like she's going to go, you know, delving into my past traumas. But there isn't a lot of talk. Obviously, there's a place for talk therapy, and you're considering this to be complementary to a professional in this area. This is a different modality.
Yes, what I notice is people, before they go for the treatment, they don't talk as much. And I think it's just our past experience of getting massages in the past. If it's any way deep or sports related, people are terrified and they just think, oh, you know, pain, it's just going to be too painful. I'm going to restrict and that. But I think we need to see pain in a different light. It's not pain as we know it. It's your body just speaking to you and asking you to release in a certain area. That really, it's like the pressure in the points you work on is helping to release. So it's actually a very relaxing experience of fascia work. And you can have different people working on different parts. And I can be working in two different areas at the same time. But it's, so it's quite diverse.
And you're not necessarily asking questions about past traumas or telling me everything. There's none of that. This is somatic work. So can you talk through some of the definitions of some of those words, like somatic work or fascia even, and let us know what they mean?
So the fascia, it's like a web that's connected to your organs, tissues. It contains nerves. And it's actually very like a web, a spider's web. And all the kind of tubes are 75% filled with water and gel. So that's what it's comprised of. So that's why you look at water in a very different light, because the fascia is part of who we are. It's part of us. We also see it as the third brain. So we have the skeletal system, muscular system, and the fascia is our third system and brain almost. So it's who we are. It's just completely who we are, really.
And when you say somatic work, what does that mean?
It's a build of emotions that we hold in our body at any given time. And when somatic work is releasing the emotions in a certain area of your body, you become lighter and more free. So with the fascia, you look at the posture, you look at alignment, and you look at stretch through somatic means to help move the body. So it's to get out of the sense of linear feeling of being like everything straight. So when we're sitting looking at the phone, it's damaged the fascia. So we want to become more fluid, like more improve and encourage more movement to our joints and hips, and even torsion movements, like twisting certain parts of the body and twist in the opposite direction and just feeling the body move. And I compare this to a lot to do with nature. So in nature, you notice with trees and rocky ground, it's not linear. It's rocky. So that's how we should kind of really see, like, move through life.
Yeah. And I've seen the wellness psychologist talk about somatic work. And obviously she is a therapist, so she's thinking talk therapy first. But sometimes you need to go deeper, or you need another modality. And she would often recommend that if people are feeling low or feeling down, that you could just give yourself a hug. And that's a somatic movement to wrap your own arms around yourself.
Exactly.
And even bring a smile to your face can be so powerful and transformative. And that is somatic movement.
It's releasing endorphins in your body. And meditation is a very good way to do that as well. So I meditate morning and evening. It's the best time.
Tell us a little bit about some of the clients you've seen and some of the results that you've seen.
So I worked on a lady a few weeks ago and she's come to me for around 4 treatments. So I know when there's certain elements that need to be kind of released more, and I'm just encouraging people to go there. And
you can just feel tightness in the body.
Yeah. So anger is kept in the ribs and the side. So you put the person on the side, you can feel it's like a big boulder knot. It's like a knot contained just under the rib cage. So I knew that was, and I know a bit about herself and her life and what she's experienced and traumas and that. So when I turned around her side and worked through those areas, I could see she was suppressing what needed to come out. So I just, allow the person to do it in their own time. So at the 5th session, she was consciously aware of it and knew about it because I spoke to her and she said, I'm ready to release it. So it was released. And the deeper you go, the more you work through that release, the person is releasing through their breath. It's gone, Claire. It's like literally gone forever.
And would you have known that to meet that person face to face, would you have known that they were carrying anger?
No, not necessarily. Most of the people that carry anger is at the most angelic, gentle, empathetic people because they're holding it in. They're not expressing it out. So we need to realize that the emotions that are going through our body, what we're experiencing, are natural. We all go through them, but there is a way to help with them. It's help to deal with it. So we're not leaving it build up. And the lady I had yesterday said that I'm so angry as well. And I do the housework in order to get rid of the anger. And I was like, but why not work? I show you areas you can work around where the anger is kept in the body to release it that way. So you're not so tied in with, overstressing yourself to do the housework. It's just done in a just more gentler, kind of enjoyable way.
Yeah. And you said something to me that I thought was quite powerful, that you have a lot of women coming to you saying, can you do something with my skin? Can you fix my wrinkles? And, can you help with my weight? Can you help with all of these things? And we're looking to the outer to make us feel better. Whereas you want to encourage people to do some more of the inner work.
Exactly, Claire. Like it has nothing to do with aesthetics. Nothing. Like, and all of that just puts pressure on women. Looking at this through social media and, what we should be like, what we should do. And it's too much pressure. We need to take the pressure off us and go more gentler and easier on ourselves. I think work more internally, no matter how much makeup you put on or how much your hair looks well. If inside you're not feeling right, nothing is. Like your home is your inside. That's where the majority of work has to be.
And I'm a real advocate for doing the work, for understanding yourself a little bit better. And I know it can be a privilege to be able to go and see a therapist, but I feel it should be made more accessible to everyone, really, because that is the basis of all well-being. But you think there's a place for all modalities? This is a complementary system that you think. And often I think with health and wellness, we tend to pit them against each other rather than seeing that they can all work and be beneficial to each other.
Absolutely.
And I think for somebody to come and receive a massage might be the only time in the month that they slow down and they focus on their own self-care.
Yeah. And everyone is going to come at a different place. You're going to have some people that their central nervous system is just, because I work with the Fibromyalgia Ireland group as well, where pain is a reoccurring experience for them. So you have to strongly add central nervous system, parasympathetic nervous system modalities to help calm the system before. And sometimes when I have people coming in and they're like, I didn't even know if I should come in today because I'm in so much pain in my body, I will take them into the room, get into Qigong, internal work, just, if they're open to Reiki, just to kind of reset their nervous system first before I start working on them. And then you're just working the layers. But it's to do with trust in me, trust in themselves, being aware that it's there, and that just a willingness to do something about it and have the courage to kind of go there. But it's very enlightening. It's very relaxing.
So what do you want people to know about this type of work?
That it's available, that there's never any one treatment that suits all, and your second treatment is never going to be like your first. It's going to be different each time. It's very releasing. It's very rewarding. You just feel great after. You have more energy. Your posture changes. So it's a huge improvement. But, you know, as you were saying about other modalities as well, like we offer acupuncture in the salon too. So there's acupuncture and different types of massages.
And where can people find you?
I am in St. Helens Hotel. It's called White Willow. So yeah, it's in Stillorgan. And my website is whitewillow.ie. So you can get in touch with connected whitewillow.ie and I'll get back.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks a million, Claire.
Coming up after the break, we're joined by another Erica Drum, on the abundance of summer food in season.
Alive and kicking on News Talk. Alive and kicking on News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Now, Erica Drum is our foodie regular. Her joy of food flows through her events, her hosting, her TV appearances and her upcoming book, Dinner. The Conscious Cook joins me in studio now to discuss what's in season and what to do with it. Erica, you're very welcome. Are you conscious that you're a cook at all stages of the day?
I'm like, do I go by that saying? Maybe I do. I love it. Like, you can call me whatever you want, Claire.
But you're a real foodie. That's what I love. You're a foodie. And not only do you love produce and flavour and all the stuff that comes with a cook or a chef, but you love the joy of food and the connection of food and bringing people together. And that's why we always have you here.
Oh, thanks. And that's so true, actually. I really, it's the entire encompassing of what food means. And when you say conscious cook, it's like conscious about everything, about the seasonality, about the flavour, about the taste, about the texture, about the people you're cooking for, about how you're feeling when you're cooking, about how you're making others feel, about how you're teaching and encouraging people to cook. So yeah, that is a good saying, isn't it?
Yeah, and your taste buds, I feel, change over the summer. We start to eat differently, don't we? And I actually really like it. I like those things we start to yearn for, those big stews and casseroles and mashed potato. I mean, there's still a place for them, especially on a rainy June day, but we are looking for fresher flavours.
Yeah, and it's actually, if you strip it all back, it's just to nature. It's what grows at the time that what we need it. Nature knows what to grow when we need it. So those, you know, rooty veg, the meats and stuff that we're eating in the winters, because they're growing, that's what's happening. And now we've got chard and spinach and all these green leafy veg that we need, or we've got fresh strawberries and berries in the winter. We've got the apples. You know, this just, it is back to nature, what we need when we need it. Like, did you know that elderflower, let's say in May, beautiful elderflower, really good for us, tastes amazing. But if you don't pick it, it turns into elderberries in like September, October, and you make it syrup to help you against coughs and flus for the winter. Like, it's all, you know, I'm not massively educated and all, but I can see what's happening when we're eating naturally what's in season. That's the whole point, is that we're supposed to be eating what's growing around us.
I see that in your future, like that herbalist kind of training. Maybe when you're finished growing people, like your little girl Stella, you might add that to growing your knowledge.
Yes.
But what's in season at the moment? You touched on some of them, but what are some of the dishes we can be cooking?
Well, you do like my shirt, I think, which is strawberries, which I only bring out this time of year. Can't be wearing this in the middle of December. So strawberries are just fab. Raspberries as well. We don't have as many, but strawberries in Ireland, like, they are just like irreplaceable this time of year. They're juicy, they're plump, they're flavoursome, they're sweet. As like, even as they go on in the season, they're actually nearly better because they're a little bit sweeter than the early ones in the season. So I absolutely adore them. New potatoes, I love those. And I love the idea of washing them, not peeling them, steaming them, giving them a little crush, throwing them into the oven or the air fryer with some olive oil and grated parmesan.
That's my favourite.
A few cloves of garlic. It's so handy, isn't it?
Oh, that is my absolute favourite.
Love that. My mum does those for my nieces. They, you know, are choosy, let's just say, in what they eat, and they're their favourite things. At the moment, like I mentioned, we've got all those gorgeous greens that are growing. You know, we've got the spinach and the kale and the chard and stuff. And I love making, you know, maybe a spring green or a summer green risotto, where you can put all those through the rice, or you can blend some up with peas. Courgette is fabulous as well.
And what is the key to making a good risotto? Is it standing there and giving it time? Do you have to be stirring it all the way along?
That's a great question. And actually, I did risotto three ways for my cookbook, but it got pulled, not because it was bad, it was just there wasn't space for it. So my base will always be the same for risotto. Fry the rice in some olive oil and butter, so the rice kind of gets coated with that gorgeous, you know, the lovely fats of whether you're doing olive oil or butter or a bit of both, and then and a bit of seasoning, and then add stock. So you add stock slowly and with heat. So the stock should be hot and then your pan should be hot. So a ladle every time, and then the rice absorbs that ladle each time. And that's important. It is a dish that you stand over. So what I would do is that plain rice, let's just say, with stock, maybe a bit of white wine, and salt and pepper, and there's usually always Parmesan cheese in my risotto, is the base. And then your filling can be so seasonal, can be anything. So let's say this time it's roast courgette, peas and spinach. I'll roast the courgette while I'm making that bit. I'll take it out, I'll take half of that into a Nutribullet or a blender of some kind with a little bit of cream, peas and spinach, and that'll go like pungent green, because those peas are even straight from the freezer will work. And the spinach is fresh. I'll pour that through the risotto once it's finished. And then those courgettes can get dotted through. So you've got kind of texture and you've got this bright green. If that's October, November, I'll do that with pumpkin. Or people do it with beetroot as well. And then I'll always serve, like, because I love, you know, adding texture and flavour all the way through. So I'll always serve, say, the green one with something crunchy on top. I do these halloumi croutons. So basically just halloumi cut into cubes and then fried in a pan. So each edge of them gets crispy and they go on top. They're so good.
Like, this is early morning, but I just want to eat that right now.
It's really delicious and so super healthy, right?
Yeah, like, and looks good. Even that colour, I can feel all my taste buds going.
Yeah, and you're right about timings. Like, you definitely wouldn't be into, even though risotto is quite warming, you wouldn't be into eating that in January, do you know? So it is, it's just, it's nature. We don't realise, subconsciously telling us what we want to be eating. So yeah, that green, vibrant colour. But beetroot as well would be gorgeous. Nice bright pink one with maybe a bit of goat's cheese and toasted walnuts on top. Be fab.
You have a great dish that you cooked at Howth Maritime Festival recently. I couldn't get near you. The tent was 60 people deep. It was that lovely sunny weekend we had, and Howth is busy anyway, but it was off the charts. And it was a quick cheats fish pie. Can you describe that a little bit? Because I do think also seafood comes into its own.
Yeah,
I eat it all year round, but I think in the summer we're more into fish than necessarily lots of meat.
Yeah, like it has seasonality as well. You know, like you can't get lobster. Let's say, for example, we had the King Citric, Joey Harding up on stage talking about the seafood that they sell. And you can't get lobster until May, you know. So really there are certain fish that you should be eating more of in the summertime or less of in the winter or whatever else. So I always put hake, but hake is particularly gorgeous at the moment. But I always put hake in my fish pies or seafood chowders and stuff because I love it. It's never farmed. It's a wild Irish fish. And this quick recipe kind of came because I knew I was doing the demo there. I knew they had limited equipment and time. And then I was like, actually, this is genius. So I mixed fresh fish, no poaching, pre-cooking or anything, with creme fraiche white wine, a little bit of lemon zest rather than juice because the acidity isn't great in that moment, and some salt and pepper and loads of lovely fresh herbs, so maybe some chive or chervil, whatever you can get that would match fish, parsley. And so I put in some smoked, I love naturally smoked haddock from the pier as well. We're obviously two big Howth advocates here, but for anyone who doesn't live by the sea, try go to a fishmonger or a butcher that might have a fish counter in it. Of course, you can buy all these ingredients in your supermarket and you can get that seafood mix. That's perfect. So you fold those things together. That's it. Creme fraiche, white wine, a little bit of lemon, salt and pepper and the herbs. That is it. You put it into an oven-proof dish. And one thing I was doing for that event particularly was I was showing people to do it individual portions in the air fryer. So my mom lives on her own and I know there's a lot of us on our own, or even my sister, let's say, for example, her kids and husband don't eat what she likes. So she actually makes herself a nice little dinner sometimes and then does their dinner. So the topping was breadcrumbs with herbs and a little bit of lemon again into the air fryer. I did it in 12 minutes. The whole thing took 15 minutes, I'd say. And it was absolutely fantastic. I talked about it at the Ladies Peninsula Society a few days later and all of them were mad for it. The idea of it, you know, just the simplicity. And then it's an easy way to get fish into us because I don't think we eat that much fish.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for maximum reward for minimum effort, like if you were having a few people over for dinner and everyone gets their own individual little serving and you have a big salad in the middle of the table, I think that's got real wow factor. You were at Taste all weekend, so you're back there today. What can people expect and look forward to?
Well, I'm hosting the food stage this year for the fourth year, and love every minute of it. The vibes, the energy, the weather. It's just been incredible and it will be so again. It's just really good fun. We've got four demos in the daytime set and four demos in the afternoon. Restaurants from all over serving delicious bits. I love the idea that, you know, there might be a few restaurants that you've been dying to go to, but you can't. You know, your parent or whatever else, you don't get this amount of time to go on dinner dates or go out for dinner. So you're at this one place, Taste, and you can just go to five or six of them and have a little taster. And that's my idea of heaven. When I go to a restaurant, I want all the starters, I want all the little bits and try everything. So that's what I would recommend. Go with an empty stomach and have the crack. Enjoy it all. It is really, really good fun.
And I think as a festival, it's really evolved over time. Mm. They've tweaked it and changed it and taken feedback. And, you know, if you went once and thought, you know what, that's not for me, I'd go again because it's really changed and evolved and improved, as it does as they learn and, you know, get more funding or whatever with any festival.
Yeah, this is 21st year. Last year was 20 years. They wrote a cookbook, 20 years of Taste. This is the 21st year. Its new home for the second year is Merrion Square as well. So don't forget that. It's not Ivy Gardens. And it is, you're so right, it's evolved. It's taken on people's tastes. It's changed with the times. The music is actually amazing as well. It's just a total buzz. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and you always look in your absolute element there. So that is where you were born to be, I feel. You mentioned cookbook there. Can people still pre-order yours?
Yes.
It's called Dinner.
It's called Dinner. So it's fairly self-explanatory. It's based on the type of meal, a type of day you're having. We'll give you the categories of things like breakfast for dinner, if you'd love to have a few eggs or you don't have anything in the press. Dinner date dinners. And then I have like a whole carb section with noodles and pasta because I love that. But it is definitely out for pre-order. Blastabooks.com. And it's called Dinner. If you pre-order it, it's really good for me. As you know, Claire, pre-orders are really important. It arrives to your door. You'll forget you ordered it for yourself. It's like a future little present. It's €17 and it's A5. It's really lovely. It comes out on the October 29th.
Yeah, and I just think it's the one thing we all need help with. Yeah. That's one of the hardest things. And everybody says it, to come up with what are we having for dinner tonight, and you are taking the sting out of that. We'll just go from page to page through Erica's book. It's called Dinner and it's available to pre-order now. Erica Drum, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you as always.
Coming up after the break, why so many people stop moving as they get older, why traditional gyms often don't work for that audience, and what would really help people build strength, confidence and independence later in life.
Alive and kicking on News Talk. Alive and kicking on News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Martina Calvi is the founder of Hello Good Life, a growing network of health and well-being hubs for people in their 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond. Based on her own health experience, she travelled to the UK and saw firsthand a very different approach to exercise, recovery and ageing well. One that was far more practical, accessible and supportive than what was available to many back home in Ireland. And Martina joins me in studio now. Martina, you're very welcome.
Morning, Claire.
Now, this whole idea didn't come from you just spotting a business opportunity. This came from your own personal experience. Tell us a little bit about your health journey.
The idea came from necessity, really, because I'd had years of illness. It was cancer layered with a debilitating underlying condition. And I had got myself through that. And what happened was that it was literally kind of overnight. The rheumatoid arthritis that kind of had been managed, I was off the treatment, going through the cancer, and it took a while to get back on it. And it just exploded. And what happened was it was my ankle and my foot, really. But it took a long time to diagnose what it was. They thought it was related to the cancer and so on. It just was so swollen. It was just red. It was so painful. It just knocked me into bed. I was bedridden for months. I ended up in a wheelchair. Long story short, I'd come through everything. The challenge then became my body strength was seriously impacted. My fitness, my everything. And the most thing was the muscle wastage.
And can I ask what age you were at that time, Martina?
Yeah, so that's just like that was going through COVID. So it's not that long ago. I was just kind of in my early 50s at that time.
And how had you been health-wise up until that? Would you have been been fitness conscious, health conscious? Would you have been an exerciser?
Yeah, so even though I had an underlying health condition all my life, it was in remission for about 20 years of that. It had represented again about 2012 or thereabouts, but it was managed. I was getting, I get infusions every 4 weeks and whatever. So people, I was independent. I walked a lot. I was, you know, yeah, absolutely. I was, you know,
healthy and happy.
Healthy and fit. And I never expected that I was going to be fast-tracked into the aging process and into the body of a much older person. But that is really what happened to me. And the challenge, as I said, was I knew myself, the way I was going to get myself better and back to good health was through exercise. Okay. The problem was when you have, you know, the best way I can describe it is if you take it to the equipment we know that we're all used to and familiar, and I lived in gyms, you must present with 100% capability to make the effort to work the machine. Okay, you have to be able to work the machine to meet the demand of the machine. But what happens when you can't? And typically when we're into our 50s and into that stage of the aging process and into our 60s, 70s and so on all the way up, we just aren't able anymore. Our bodies are changed. So what happens is, where's the exercise solution? Like, we know that, you know, say longevity, for example, you know, some of the strongest indicators of longevity are strength training, cardiovascular exercise and social engagement regularly, consistently and so on. Like, just yesterday, a data from the Department of Health showing us that the lifespan for males now is 81.1 and for females it's 84.6. That's all grand, but how do we access regular, consistent strength training, cardiovascular in a social setting? And that was what I found when I was trying to recover. I couldn't access exercise in that way. It wasn't available in Ireland. There's no safe, structured exercise solution in that way where you can go a couple of times a week or whatever. And I mean, there was just last week, the Irish Sports Monitor 2025 showing us that just 4% of Irish adults report doing weekly strength training, even though the national guidelines have a recommendation of twice weekly. But here's what I found in England, first of all, when I went. I found power-assisted exercise. It's available, like, mainstream in the UK and even more so out through Europe. If you go on and look up Feel Good in Norway, there's 100 centres in Norway. This is, like, a strategy that's used in terms of healthy ageing and actually, you know, actioning that, doing something. It's not enough to talk about it. It's to do something about it. So when I went to England, I was just desperate to find exercise equipment. Initially, I thought if I could just get a couple of machines from my own house. But then I realised I'm totally different to how I was. I can't work these machines. So off to England anyway, myself and my partner, Seamus, who's very much part of this with me. So it was the exercise, the power-assisted exercise over there.
And when you say power-assisted exercise, what do you mean? Because you're talking about in the gym setting and I suppose the machines that you can get on and you're either moving with your arms or your legs, or are you even talking about some of the things you might see in the park?
No, power-assisted exercise is completely different. It's not available here. Okay. And how it works is, and this could be really interesting for people to understand, because sometimes I know that I was the same myself. I just thought it was all the same, you know. But really, power assisted exercise, the unique difference is it adapts to the user. So if, for example, I present and I can make 80% effort, the power assisted exercise machines compensate for the other 20. To get me started on my fitness journey. There's 12 machines in the circuit, and when you do the complete circuit in less than 40 minutes, you have a complete body workout. You also have completed a global range of motion. The machines, the power assisted, it's the rehabilitative. So in my case, I needed to be brought back and to recover some of my lost mobility and my impacted health. And that circuit of machines will do that, as well as preventative. Like, people who are healthy and well, you use the machines in order to keep themselves as healthy as they can for longer. So again, just going back to the longevity piece that I mentioned, you know, the lifespan. Yes, wonderful. People are living for longer and that is amazing. But we need to ensure people are healthy for longer, for as long as they possibly can be. And I'm talking today about the gap that's here in Ireland. We don't have that solution where we help to keep people, where we help them to support. Like when people are, for example, into their 50s, the focus then becomes on their health and more so personal responsibility. What can I do to support my own health? What measures or actions can I take? And people, you know, if they want to access regular resistance training, you know, to make the body stronger, build your muscles, the cardiovascular and so on, where do you get it? So this is where the power assisted circuit, and I'm highlighting and saying this is a mainstream solution that's been used. For example, there was in that Irish Sports Monitor last week, they were talking about the need for, you know, spaces like this and models to be developed. And they were kind of saying that in the future, preventative healthcare and healthy aging will become, you know, issues. But I say these are issues today and they need to be addressed today. And really, it's at the stage where, like, we should really be looking at having a separate preventative health care department. You know, we have the Department of Health. We should have a separate standalone preventative health care with a ministerial role, the Minister of Preventative Health, because there's so many stakeholders and providers of, you know, in this sector, let's say, in the country, including leisure centres, gyms, you know, so on. There's no national strategy, and it's so important. It's what's working. It's what's keeping people active and healthy all throughout Europe and internationally. So what I did then was I've designed a model for Ireland based on what I found in the UK and in Scandinavia and throughout Europe. And it's called Hello Good Life Ireland. So I have designed a model with a circuit that's made available, or it's a white labeled. So what happens is it's for the operators and providers out there. It could be a GAA club. It could be a community. It could be a community group. It could be a parish hall. It could be a gym person with a good business head that sees that this is current and relevant. This is an untapped market that's there. People are willing to invest in their health. There are so many of us out there just looking for the solution. We want to go several times a week. So there's 4 Hello Good Life hubs open at the moment. They're in the West. So now I'm in a position to roll it out nationwide. However, if you have your own branding and your own logo, you can do that. The machines can be manufactured. This space can be customized to your own, you know, you can create a well-being or a health space yourself or whatever to add on to. But it's very much where things are at. It's not that we're looking to the future saying, this is a massive opportunity and whatever. It's today. We're alive today. Our lifespan is extending today. We're here and we need it. People need it. So again, I'm not just talking about healthy aging. I'm doing something about it.
And how are you now? Because you sort of painted the picture of yourself with your inflamed, painful ankle, your muscle wasted in a wheelchair, yourself and Seamus heading to the UK and discovering this new way of rebuilding yourself. And here you are threatening the government. I mean, I absolutely love it, I have to say.
Yeah. So what was the solution? I mean, that's it. Sometimes I think that people must find it incredible when I speak, because, I mean, you know, you just cannot see the link between what I'm describing and where I am today. And what has made the difference is the power assisted circuit. Because what I did then was the first hub opened in Castlebar. I'm from Achill Island originally, but I'm based in Castlebar. I approached friends of mine who owned a gym there, the Mulroys, and they, you know, installed the first hub and made it available there in Mayo. And that is how I really got my life back. You know, my life was impacted to such an extent. And I, you know, I am independent. I've always been independent. I like to be healthy and well. I just saw that, you know, this is an opportunity, you know. And as I said, I went with it. I rolled with everything up until my body was weak. My muscle wastage was so great. I just couldn't innovate a solution or a way to get out of it. It wasn't just enough of like tick the box. I go through the treatment, do whatever. And I have to say, like the health service and the treatment and everything I got, I can't praise enough. You know, that was
But this
wonderful.
Is a piece of the jigsaw that's currently missing.
That's it. The preventative healthcare is where we have the gap. We have a gap once people go into their 50s. We want them to regularly engage in, you know, all weather, strength training, cardiovascular social connections. And that's the way the Hello Good Life Hub concept is designed. It's a holistic approach. It's for your physical health with the machines. It's your mental and social health as well, because it's big on connection. You know, that's, if you'd go onto the hellogoodlife.ie website, you'll see all the information about it.
How long did it take for you to start to feel strong again?
Yeah, within a couple of weeks, a very short space of time. I mean, they're just like miracle machines. That's the truth. And like, I could have a much easier life. Of course I could have, you know, just sitting back. Why would I do that? I see there's a gap and they should be here. They must be here. People must have access to power-assisted exercise all throughout the country. And if you're an operator or a provider, as I said, someone who can see the value in what I'm saying, you know, get in touch. I'm looking to innovate strategies and whatever. I'm not from the HSE. I'm not from any agency that works with, you know, aging or whatever. I'm a person that had personal experience and I've learned and seen what's working internationally. And I just see the gap is here in Ireland and let's do something about it. Help me to do something about it.
Well, you're some woman for one woman. I'm after falling in love with you a little bit this morning, Martina. You're amazing. I'm so glad you didn't decide you were just going to sit in the armchair and let everybody help you. You were going to help yourself and now you're going to help others. If people want to find out more, they can go to hellogoodlife.ie. Martina Calvi, founder of Hello Good Life. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, Claire.
So that's it for Alive and Kicking for this week. My thanks to my producer, Aoife Breen, and to Hugo De Silva Scott, who was on sound. Rory Galvin was on podcasts, and thanks to you for listening. I will see you next week.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.